Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Thank you for joining me tonight. Just a quick review of last week. We continued to look. These were mostly my comments concerning Satan's attempt to destroy Israel in modern history. We read a few articles, but basically I pointed out a few different things. For instance, that God sent several different Christians as missionaries once upon a time during the Holocaust into the Nazi concentration camps, so that the Jews who were to face their deaths could hear the gospel before their time was up. And I went into detail. If you want to hear more about that, you can go into the archive of last week's message. Then we looked at the Holocaust survivors and how they were treated, and how they were on a ship called the Exodus 1947, and how they were denied by much of the world access to freedom after they got out of Nazi Germany. Then we looked at the courageous actions of President Truman in his day against the evildoers in his own administration and in the press. We looked at President Nixon's also brave actions towards Israel. Truman, of course, acknowledging Israel's right to be a nation, and Nixon providing arms to help protect them on Yom Kippur and the surprise attack by the wicked nations that sought to destroy them. But of course, God protected them, but actually used Nixon and his own mother's, when he was a child, his Christian mother's advice to help Israel if he ever had the opportunity, if he ever was in office to do something, which of course all came to pass. We talked about Saddam Hussein, Gerald Bull's doomsday gun, and the attempt to attack Israel again, to try to destroy Israel, and God's providence concerning all that. We talked about President Trump's defense of Israel versus Barack Obama and Biden's defense of Iran, which, of course, by the time you hear this, I would assume that Biden will be the president of the United States, and we will continue to pray for him, Mr. Biden. But the policies that he has said that he would follow, of course, favor Iran, who has threatened to wipe Israel off the map, in so many words, which, of course, isn't going to happen. But anyway, we looked at all these different things in various articles. Now, this week, I want to look at some current event articles, which, once again, I believe are setting the stage for Ezekiel, for the events of Ezekiel 38 and 39. You know, the prophet Ezekiel, God used him over 2,500 years ago to predict the coming about of a coalition of nations which would attempt to wipe out Israel. And once again, God's already given us the word on that. He's already told us what the outcome will be. And let me just say, it's not going to be pretty for the invaders. Read about it for yourself in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We've been looking at this for quite some time, actually, for a few months now, because I think it's very important, and I think the stage is being set. So, having said all that, let's look at the first article. This is entitled, Bahrain strengthens its relationship with Israel as Sudan shows signs of backing off. This is from Israel Unwired. The article is by David Mark, and it's December 3rd of last year, 2020. Now, nothing is ever set in stone when it comes to geopolitical arrangements in the Middle East, and I would say that's an understatement. It says this is especially the case when such arrangements are built on a superficial quid pro quo, as is the case with the Sudan-Israel peace deal, which is really a normalization. They have never been at war like a couple of the other Muslim countries where actual peace was made. This is more of a normalization of relationships, as Sudan has always been an anti-Semitic, extreme Muslim nation. With President Trump still trying to stop a Biden administration from being established, and of course this is back December 3rd of last year, Sudan sees weakness on the part of the U.S. administration. The interim government in Sudan never liked the deal, but swallowed to get taken off the international terrorism list in order to to begin getting massive investments from overseas. So it's all about the money, right? Now, it wants to ensure this happens before Trump, President Trump, leaves office, and according to a corroborated New York Times report, is now threatening to pull out of the deal. And yes, unless the U.S. government passes legislation to remove it from the State Department's state sponsors of terrorism list by the end of the year. Now, of course, I could have told you that they're going to pull out of any deal of any long-lasting peace with Israel because they are one of the nations that God has already told us, which, going by a different name 2,500 years ago, which will be involved in this attempted invasion. Now, it says, on the other hand, Bahrain and Israel appear to be only tightening their cooperation with the visit of Tourism Minister Zayed bin Rashid Al Zayani, visit to Israel. Both he and Prime Minister Netanyahu signed a number of MOUs. The tourism openness with the State of Israel within the framework of the Declaration of Support for Peace concluded between the two parties will have a great impact on enriching the tourism sector and supporting it between the two countries. Al-Zayani was quoted by his country's state-owned Bahrain news agency as saying, and as a matter of fact, all the nations that are involved in these Abraham Accords will be benefiting mutually, both Israel and these nations. And again, all about the business at hand, the financial benefits to all the parties. Bahrain's position vis-a-vis Israeli settlements appears to parallel the UAE's United Arab Emirates and indicates that the Palestinian issue is no longer important to the Sunni Arab state. This stance further alienates the Palestinians and pushes back on the incoming Biden administration's assumed policy of reviving the failed Palestinian Authority. Essentially, Bahrain and UAE are making it known that any American policy that weakens Israel is opposed by them as well. So that's quite interesting. Now let's look at another article. This is from the Moscow Times. Okay, Russia signs deal to open naval base in Sudan. This is by AFP. I don't have the full name. That's all I have of the author. It's from December 9th, 2020. It says Russia has signed an agreement with Sudan to build a naval base on the country's Red Sea coast in Moscow's latest push into Africa as it seeks to renew its geopolitical clout. That's just about a month ago, folks, a little over a month ago. The deal, published on the Russian government's website Tuesday, will see Moscow establish a logistical support center in Port Sudan, where repairs and resupply operations can take place. The agreement, signed December 1st, is valid for 25 years and will be automatically renewed for 10-year periods if neither side objects. The purpose of the base will be to uphold peace and stability in the region, according to the document. Peace and stability in the region, according to the document. I can't help but laugh. Russia's Navy will be allowed to keep up to 4 ships at a time at the base, including nuclear-powered vessels. The base will be manned by up to 300 military and civilian personnel. Russia will have the right to transport, via Sudan's airports and ports, weapons, ammunition, and equipment needed for the naval base to function. Sudanese authorities were not immediately available for comment. Moscow has in recent years turned its focus to Africa as it seeks to reaffirm its geopolitical influence around the globe. Russia and Sudan's armed forces signed a deal in May 2019 set to last 7 years. And that was when the military dictator ruled, al-Bashir, who's no longer there now. As the Kremlin offers Khartoum, the capital, military and civilian nuclear cooperation. Now, I've commented on the arms sale to Sudan in earlier podcasts, and even then was pointing out that this was showing Russia's helping to arm Sudan, and I believe, of course, probably at least in part, because of this coming invasion down the road. But things change, and I would say Sudan, of course, the interim government or whoever is there now in place of the dictator, who knows who's going to be involved there and in charge there down the road. It's a very tentative situation, very fluid, what's taking place in that nation, as in other countries, of course. But Sudan is a big player in the upcoming invasion of Israel. It's known as Cush. Back in the day, that land area was known as Cush. Now, Moscow acknowledged in January last year that its military advisors were on ground in Sudan alongside forces loyal to the government as a political crisis there unfolded. In a 2017 visit to Russia, former Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir asked President Vladimir Putin to protect his country from the United States. Of course, this is the terrorist country that harbored Osama bin Laden after 9/11. So I guess they were wanting to be protected from, you know, some payback or what have you. That may not be correct on the – well, in other words, this was 2017, and, of course, 2011 was certainly well before that. But anyway, the point is the context – or the favorable joining together of Russia and Sudan is really a very interesting situation. He said military cooperation should be stepped up to re-equip – Sudan's armed forces. And to that, I just have a big W-O-W. Wow. You know, just keep your eyes on what's going on over there. Now, let's look at another very interesting article. I've talked a lot about Turkey, of course, just as I have about Iran and Russia in past podcasts, past articles that we've taken note of. And here's one, again, from Israel Unwired, by Micah Geffen, and this again was December 8th, you know, a little more than a month ago, 2020. Tensions rise between Turkey and Israeli allies off of Israel's coast. Turkey is actively threatening Israel's allies in the EU, the European organization there. Greece and Cyprus, it's actively threatening, Greece, Turkey is, Israel's allies in the EU, Greece, and Cyprus, if its President Erdogan does not get a deal that he believes benefits Turkey. The disputed Eastern Mediterranean has long been a source of tensions between Turkey and Greece. They fought a war over Cyprus and are now vying for control over the resource-rich Eastern Mediterranean. Like Israel, who has capitalized over its Leviathan gas field, Cyprus and Greece both have similar finds. And, of course, I've talked a lot about black gold. Black gold matters in the world today. And I've commented a lot about that, this provocations from this dictator Erdogan in the Eastern Mediterranean area. In the Eastern Mediterranean issue, this is Erdogan speaking here, our country never sides with tension but with peace, cooperation, fairness, and implementing justice. Okay, you heard it straight from his lips, and I'm just a messenger, and I don't believe a word of it. I don't know about you. The path to this goes through negotiations based on mutual respect, Turkey's leader Erdogan said, repeating a call for a conference that involves all actors in the region. And may I remind you that Turkey is also one of the big players in this upcoming invasion in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And I know many of you are aware of that, but for any new listeners, I want to mention that, like, well, what's Turkey got to do with anything? Well, they're one of the really big players. Russia, Turkey, and Iran are really the big three, with Sudan and some of the other players as well, who will be coming on down to face their destruction sometime in the future. Coming on down to Israel, I should say. However, Turkey would not allow, again, this is Erdogan speaking, a pirate mentality shown by other countries to restrict it to a narrow strip of coastal water. We will not bow down to threats and blackmail. We will not allow imperialist expansionists, he said. And, of course, I call that the pot calling the kettle black. And like all lying dictators, he's lying to you folks. The EU has called to sanction Turkey over Erdogan's visit to the breakaway Turkish Cypriot state of northern Cyprus, which is recognized only by Ankara, the capital of Turkey, as well as over the Turkish naval operations in the eastern Mediterranean, which the European Union called illegal. The East Mediterranean pipeline is the real source of conflict. The planned East Med gas pipeline to Europe from Israel to Cyprus and Greece is the real source for Erdogan's angst on the forming alliance between Israel, Cyprus, and Greece. By creating an alternative energy route for Europe, the East-Med alliance can offset the EU's reliance on Erdogan, putting him at a disadvantage. You know, I remember in the past also, there's an issue, I believe, with Israel taking a lot of Russia's natural gas business from Europe, as there have been both gas and oil fines in Israel. And we'll look a little bit more about some of the recent fines a little bit more in the podcast here. But as I say, black gold matters. With Israel as the main defensive partner in the alliance, any conflict risks bringing Jerusalem in. Turkey knows this and wants to break the alliance before it has a chance to reshape the region. Furthermore, Turkey is threatened by the inclusion of the UAE into the growing Greece-Cyprus-Israel alliance. UAE, of course, is part of the Abraham Accords, one of the Muslim gas, oil-rich Gulf states that have joined together with Israel, and sees Jerusalem's role as a growing regional power becoming a problem. Like the Kurds, Erdogan views Israel as an impediment to reestablishing Turkey as the regional overlord and global superpower. His moves in the eastern Mediterranean, although running the risk of sparking a war, is part of his initial pushback against Israel regional dominance. And as I've said in the past, he's quite the provocateur. Provocateur, whatever the word is. Now let's look at another article, and this is concerning the latest peace partner in the Abrahamic Accord. This is the peace president. Israel-Morocco agree to peace deal, written by David Mark in the Israeli Unwired site on December the 11th, 2020, about a month ago. It says, it is official, the Kingdom of Morocco has agreed to full normalization with Israel. This is a Muslim country, of course, by the way. In many ways, this was not much of a surprise other than the timing. President Trump's ideas behind peace is about first recognizing reality. This is why he moved the embassy to Jerusalem and then recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, as well as the legality of Israel's claims to Judea and Samaria. And I commented a couple podcasts ago about Andy Wood's comments and his video about the prophetic implications of the Abrahamic Accords. And he referred to the embassy in Jerusalem. That was just one of the beginnings of the snowball effect as we draw nearer to the Ezekiel 38 and 39 event. It says he has now applied the same formula to Morocco, and that's President Trump. The kingdom never really had deep issues with Israel, but rather it used a peace deal with Israel as a bargaining chip to acquire U.S. recognition over Morocco's claims over Western Sahara. And again, as Andy Wood pointed out, Morocco, which is just south, of course, across the Mediterranean Sea from Spain and Gibraltar, that area, the lower third of Spain, is referred in ancient times as Tarshish, which, like Sheba and Dedan, who are part of the rich oil Gulf states and possibly Saudi Arabia in the future, these are the people who are going to object to this invasion from Russia. They're not going to do anything, but because it's bad for their business, they're going to object. Many people have thought that either Spain or England, which that's Gibraltar as part of England, was actually ancient Tarshish. But as Andy Woods points out, that Morocco very well may be part of Tarshish. And that means it's very interesting to see Morocco coming into this normalization with Israel. When you talk about Tarshish and the young lions thereof, well, maybe Morocco is part of the young lions thereof of Tarshish, and that the other, the lower third of Spain was the original Tarshish. Not sure about all that, but very fascinating as we see more and more pieces of the prophetic puzzle coming and get together. David Mark says, I wrote the following over at Israel Rising. He says, this is how it has been with the Abraham Accords. President Trump got the parties to agree that peace is simply smart business. In today's world, where leftists and liberals pretend to live a sort of fake righteousness, disregarding the harsh reality of the world, sometimes it takes common sense and a bit of deal-making to make a realistic peace deal done. This sort of peace deal that recognizes the reality of what is on the ground flies in the face of the global elite and deep state who use peacemaking to push their own agenda of divide and control. It is also proof of why they have been so hell-bent on getting Trump out of office. With Biden back in, they can restart the wars that Trump has been focused on ending. Peace is important, and real peace is getting the parties to recognize that working together is good for business and their citizens' prosperity. That is President Trump's genius. In a world where evil is bound up in the information that corporate interests attempt to push into our brains, it is refreshing to have someone, despite their demeanor, who recognizes that all people at the end want the same thing: safety, prosperity, and individual liberty. He makes comments about Hearts, which is a liberal news source out of Israel. I don't think I have time for that. Here are Trump's tweets about the deal. Today I signed a proclamation recognizing Moroccan sovereignty over the Western Sahara. Okay, enough about that. Now I want to move now to, this is a book that I quoted from in previous podcasts called The Coming Russian Invasion of Israel by Tom McCall and Zola Levitt. And this is Merrill Unger's preface to the first edition. I want to read some comments he's made here. It says, the world today is like a bomb with a lighted fuse. Conditions everywhere indicate it is only a matter of time before the bomb is ignited and a global upheaval takes place. And, of course, this is referring to the information in this book, which was written in 1974, updated in 1987. But many books, of course, on prophecy have brought this to our attention. In the pages of this book, there is not one note of false alarm. The coming catastrophe outlined is real. It is based upon that which is declared by God himself in his eternal word. Biblical prophecy sets forth the future of Russia with dramatic clarity. Her invasion of Israel at the end of this age is incisively predicted in the Bible as clearly as the regathering of the Jews and their establishment as a present-day nation in Palestine. The Christian will be strengthened in his faith in God's word. The non-Christian will see his need of Christ's salvation to prepare him to face impending world catastrophe. And there's some good purposes to study Bible prophecy, folks, to let people know what's happening. Now, speaking of and coming to take a spoil, Ezekiel 38 and 39 talks about people objecting to the Russian invasion with their allies. I have here an article from 2018, February 14th, from the Jerusalem Post by Benjamin Glott. Evangelical firm encounters oil in the Jezreel Valley. The Jezreel Valley has long been known as the Holy Land's fertile valley, but never before was it proven that God had also sown there oil and gas. On Tuesday, Zion Oil and Gas announced that it encountered free-flowing hydrocarbons while doing work there. That was 2 years ago. Zion is a Christian oil drilling company. In 1983, during a visit to Israel, the founder, John Brown, became inspired to find oil and gas in Israel. During the next 17 years, he made numerous trips to Israel, and he received an award in 2000 of a small onshore petroleum license from the Israeli government. The company uses a map of the 12 ancient tribes of Israel and the biblical assertion, the foot of Asher to be dipped in oil on the head of Joseph, as an unlikely guide to help it decide where to drill. But while Zion's vision is biblically inspired, the actions taken by the Zion management as it actively explores for oil and gas in Israel are based on modern science and good business practice. I am ecstatic to see clear evidence of hydrocarbons, oil and gas, in the deeper portion of our Megiddo Jezreel number one well, a project that we have been working on for years, Victor Carrillo said. The Bible says that God is going to put a hook in the jaws of the nations, Ezekiel 38:4, and I believe the hook is going to be the oil. And my comments would be, or at least a major hook. When Golda Meir was in office, she made the comment that she was very angry with Moses. She said, Moses led us throughout the wilderness for 40 years and plopped us down in the Middle East in the only place where there is no oil. Some people are saying that maybe that's not true. And that's obviously not true. As I say, this article's 2 years old. Now, a recent press release that I just got from the Zion Oil and Gas Company, January 6th, actually, of this year. Zion Oil and Gas spuds the Megiddo Jezreel number 2 well in Israel. The crew previously completed the deep monitoring well on MJ-1 as mandated by the Israel Water Ministry. During this period, the crew also underwent various inspections from the Israeli ministries. All necessary permits to operate have been granted. Now, this is an article by Eric H. Klein. Just a few words here. He's the assistant professor of archaeology and ancient history at George Washington University. This is from 2001. He says, throughout history, Megiddo and the Jezreel Valley have been ground zero for battles that determine the very course of civilization. It is no wonder that the author of Revelation believed Armageddon, the penultimate battle between good and evil, would also take place in this region. Well, also, I guess it's because the author of Revelation was inspired by the Spirit of God. But anyway, that's the point. This is the Megiddo-Jezreel Well, right there in the Jezreel Valley. This is from the Logos blog. Is the Jezreel Valley the stage for the final battle? By Karen Engel, March 23, 2019. No less than 34 battles have occurred in or around this area. It was here that Deborah and Barack, not Obama, trounced Sisera at the base of Mount Tabor at the eastern end of the valley, Judges 4 through 5. The Philistines attacked and defeated the Israelites on Mount Gilboa on the valley's southeastern side. Gideon defeated the Midianites, Amalekites, and their allies. The Crusaders fought four separate battles in the 12th century. Napoleon Bonaparte crushed the Ottomans in 1799, and General George Allenby fought the Ottoman army for control of the area in 1918. For millennia, it's been like a magnet wooing the nations to war, and for good reason. The Jezreel Valley tells of a sobering story of past rulers and wars, but it's a future battle mentioned in Revelation 16 that grabs many people's attention. In it, the evil rulers of the world will gather to come against the King of Kings, and the Apostle John says it's to a specific place, and that's Revelation 16, 14 through 16. For they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. And they assembled them at the place that is in Hebrew called Armageddon. Now, I'm going to move quickly to my last article, and then I want to quote a little bit from Psalm 2. I need to leave a little time for that, hopefully. This is from the Midnight Call. They got the article from Reuters in November 14th of last year, 2020. Asia forms world's biggest trade bloc. You know, speaking of kings of the East going down to the Jezreel Valley and Armageddon, 15 Asia-Pacific economies formed the world's largest free trade bloc, a China-backed deal that excludes the United States, which has left a rival Asia-Pacific grouping under President Donald Trump. The signing of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership at a regional summit in Hanoi is a further blow to the group pushed by former U.S. President Barack Obama, which his successor exited in 2017. The RCEP may cement China's position more firmly as an economic partner with Southeast Asia, Japan, and Korea, putting the world's second biggest economy in a better position to shape the region's trade rules. RCEP will account for 30% of the global economy, 30% of the global population, and reach 2.2 billion consumers. Arnold Frost from Midnight Call says, it's interesting, they're superseding all other nations when it comes to creating millionaires. One thing is clear, Asia and the East will rise at a faster pace than America and the West. In between these two power structures lies Europe, which has not yet lived up to its full potential. What does it mean biblically? Unity at all costs. That's the only way the nations can avoid military conflicts on the one hand, and on the other to create a world we read of in Genesis 11:4, and that's talking about the one world government back in the day. Well, I'm just about out of time. Also, don't forget that China is in alliance with the rogue terrorist nation of Iran, and I'll let you read Psalm 2 for yourself, but I will probably reference that in our next get-together next week if we're still here. God bless you all. I hope you'll join us next week. Good night.